Cost is about expecting the unexpected. The writer Annie Dillard, in her beautiful little book entitled Holy the Firm, writes, and I quote, "The higher Christian churches, where if anywhere I belong, come at God with an unwarranted air of professionalism, with authority and pomp, as though they knew what they were doing. As though people in themselves were an appropriate set of creatures to have dealings with God. I often think of the set pieces of liturgy as certain words which people have successfully addressed to God without their getting killed. In the high churches, they saunter through the liturgy like mohawks across a strand of scaffolding who have long since forgotten their danger. If God were to blast such a service to bits, the congregation would be, I believe, genuinely shocked. But in the low churches, you expect it at any minute. And this is the beginning of wisdom." End quote. It's important to remember, in other words, that the Christian church began with a bunch of preachers who people thought were loaded. To be sure, what we have in this story of Pentecost is the author reading back into a moment in time the most important missionary innovation that Christians started, indigenous worship, praying and preaching in one's own language. It was Paul who recognized that you can't just preach about Moshiach, the Messiah, in Hebrew. You have to use the language of the people. And for Paul, that was Greek, which gave us the word Christ. And for much of the history of the church, it was Latin, which gave us the word Lord. But the gospel is now preached in hundreds of languages, Portuguese and French and Spanish and so many more. Pentecost is about the first Christians tailoring what they said and did to the needs of their neighbor. And when you tailor what you do to what your neighbor needs, then you'll have to expect the unexpected.
Pai nosso, que estais no céu, santificado seja o vosso nome. Venha a nós o vosso reino, seja feita a vossa vontade, assim na terra como no céu. O pão nosso de cada dia nos dai hoje. Perdoai-nos as nossas ofensas, assim como nós perdoamos a quem nos tem ofendido. Não nos deixeis cair em tentação, mas livrai-nos do mal, pois vosso é o reino, o poder e a glória, por todo sempre. Amém.
Amen. And all God's people say? Amen. Amen. The Gospel of John that we just read gets this history right. Christians began to preach and pray, like the Lord's Prayer we just heard, in different languages, because they got booted out of the synagogue as heretics, and they began doing this because the Roman Empire wanted nothing to do with them, as the Emperor Nero demonstrated in 64 CE when he made human torches out of some of these so-called Christians or Messiah worshipers, and according to tradition, when he crucified Peter, whose sermon we heard earlier, upside down. The cause of all of this chaos and violence was, of course, Jesus, the one whom Paul called a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. So who were these first Christians? They were the prophets, visionaries, and dreamers. And where are our prophets, visionaries, and dreamers? Let me ask it again. Where are our prophets, visionaries, and dreamers? Being a prophet is a risky venture. A prophet isn't a future predictor. A prophet is a social critic. And people don't always like social critics. Say, for instance, that I say, as a prophet, God has a serious issue with America. A really serious issue. Jeremiah Wright, a few years back, said something similar using some very colorful theological language. You may remember the exact phrase that he used. Now, if I said that today, there's the flag right over there in the corner. The veterans would be up in arms. Sean Hannity would get a hold of the clip. Self-appointed true patriots would take up a motion to get me fired after barely a month in office. Jesus was a social critic. Muslims are clear about this. They identify him as a prophet. Like Peter in his sermon that we just heard Ed read so beautifully, Jesus imagined the sun darkened and a moon of blood and the fall of the Roman and any other empire. He thought that being a true Jew or Roman wasn't about superficial rituals. Saying as Jesus did that he saw the temple was going to fall was a way to say, come on, wake up! The ruler of this world is already condemned. We worship a living God. And the living God is gracious and merciful, much bigger than any tribe or nation or empire. So come on, let's wake up and act like those loving people we want to be. It was a rough week in world news for prophets. With the new U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, Texas preacher John Hagee was there to offer a prayer. Hagee's prayer repeated over and over one phrase, Israel lives! Not, mind you, God lives, but Israel lives. It's a subtle but blasphemous shift from worshiping the living God to worshiping a nation state. And while Hagee uttered his incantation, Palestinians who were nonviolently protesting the occupation of their homeland were dying on Gaza Strip. It was a rough week for prophets. You will know them by their fruits, Jesus said. And when the fruits of a so-called prophet's prayer are death, you have all the evidence you need to decide about the truth of that message. Jingoistic celebrations of nationalism are not prophecy. That's not the kind of community that Jesus imagined and that the first Christians forged. So where are our prophets, visionaries, and dreamers? Listen to the words of Peter, the one who died for his faith, quoting from the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So where are our prophets and visionaries and dreamers?
Comme au ciel. Donne-nous aujourd'hui notre pain de ce jour. Pardonne-nous nos offenses, comme nous pardonnons aussi à ceux qui nous ont offensés. Et ne nous soumets pas à la tentation, mais délivre-nous du mal, car c'est à toi qui appartiennent le règne, la puissance et la gloire, au siècle des siècles. Amen.
Amen. Emma Gonzalez is a senior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. And on February 17th, just days after the mass shooting that left 17 of her peers dead, she spoke these words at a rally in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, that we need to hear again today. after yet more children have died in our schools. And I'm going to need your help with this one. Ed gave you some practice at a little call and response. I don't want to be out there all alone on this one, and I'm sure you'll catch on. Here's what Emma Gonzalez said. The people in the government who were voted into power are lying to us. And us kids seem to be the only ones who notice, and our parents, to call BS. Companies are trying to make caricatures of the teenagers these days, saying that we are all self-involved and trend-obsessed, and they hush us into submission when our message doesn't reach the ears of the nation. We are prepared to call BS. Politicians who sit in their gilded House and Senate seats funded by the NRA telling us nothing could have been done to prevent this. We call They say tougher gun laws do not decrease gun violence. We call. They say a good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun. We call BS. They say guns are just tools like knives and are as dangerous as cars. We call BS. They say no laws could have prevented the hundreds of senseless tragedies that have occurred. Wrap your brain around that, I interject. The hundreds of tragedies that have occurred. We call that as kids don't know what we're talking about, that we're too young to understand how the government works. We call. We had our own youth calling out some BS two Sundays ago. But I hope you also heard the ultimate message of Kaya and Eli and all the young people of PF and YCA. It wasn't just critique, and it was a vision. Eli put it this way. Where are you, Eli? In his opening prayer, here's what he said. We give thanks to you on this day, God of inclusion and of welcome and of love. We have gathered here together to make joyful noise in your presence so that we may be your hands and feet in this community. We ask that you may open our hearts and minds that we may listen and learn from what you have to say through the scripture, sermon, prayers, and songs. This beautiful vision of our youth, of a living God, is like the vision of Emma Gonzalez for a world without violence, a more peaceful world, a world where a God of love and inclusion and welcome works through us. It's like the world that Bishop Michael Curry envisioned in his beautiful sermon at the royal wedding. How many of you saw it or heard it? Wasn't it amazing? There's power in love, Bishop Curry said. And when love is the way, then no child would go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like a mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will become a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more. When love is the way, there's plenty good room for all of God's children. So where are our prophets and visionaries and dreamers? They are right in our pews. If not us, who? If not now, when? Hear the words of Peter again, the rock on whom the church was founded. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Who does that leave out?
Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos. Santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino. Hágase tu voluntad en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy el pan de nuestro de cada día. Perdona nuestras deudas como también nosotros perdonamos a nuestros deudores. Líbranos de todo mal. En el nombre del Padre, el Hijo y el Espíritu Santo. Amen.
Amen. The Reverend William Barber, who has revived Martin Luther King Jr.'s Poor People's Campaign, gets it. Reverend Barber recognizes that prophets, visionaries, and dreamers imagine a community in which all have the capacity to flourish. Our prophets, visionaries, and dreamers are telling us that to make such a beloved community a reality, we need to address the systemic structures of violence in America, like our system of mass incarcerations, like our war economy that fuels inequality and that keeps people poor. These are enmeshed evils, Barber says. Systemic racism is part of it and certainly has made private prison corporations rich. But economic inequality in America has unmistakably left a vast number of people in America, the richest nation on the planet, poor. According to the U.S. Census, there are nearly 41 million people in the U.S. living in poverty, but that number is probably much higher, maybe 140 million who are either poor or low income and who live check to check, struggling to decide whether to pay for food or clothing or utilities. As one put it, it's just constant juggling, figuring out what bill to pay and what not. That's not what God intends. And how can you flourish if you're a dreamer when you're one of those immigrants who has already contributed so much to America, and when the government can't pass a bill that forges a path to citizenship for you, and when ICE raids make your heart beat faster every time you hear a knock on the door? That's not what God intends. Here at Union, we have an immigration advocacy team. They're working hard, we met on Tuesday, to foster educational programs to make people aware of immigration and refugee needs, to mentor middle or high school students, and to partner with agencies like Casa Alba and COMSA, who currently aid immigrants in our area. For instance, I met with Mohammed and Saeed of COMSA this week, and I can say with confidence that they have much to teach us if and when we can learn to hear them. Lord, give us ears to hear. That's what God intends. So here we are, prophets, visionaries, dreamers. What chance do we have in a world drunk on power? We can start small with our neighbors. You never know where there might be a chance to testify. Last week I had Ron from a local marine supply company come to our house to give us a bid for a dock. After we got out of our waders, I invited Ron into the kitchen for a cup of coffee. And we talked. He was a devout Roman Catholic and an avid kayaker. We hit it off and we talked for the better part of an hour. But as he was leaving, he said to me as he stood at the door, "So you're a professor and a pastor. Do you have anything to recommend to a grandfather," he said, pointing to himself, "who can't attend his granddaughter's wedding because she's a lesbian?" I literally groaned in pain when he said this. And then I said to him, "Ron, Jesus said nothing about this. Why are you making such a big deal out of it?" "There's a book by Matthew Vines," I told him, "called God and the Gay Christian that shows there's no incompatibility between being gay and being Christian. Jesus was all about love. Remember the wedding at Cana? He even made some more wine when they ran out." But Ron went on, I know, right and right. "But I just don't know," he said. "It's just like my line in the sand. Marriage is for procreation." And I felt such sadness for him and for his granddaughter, and for the church teaching that had so constricted his vision of what love is. I doubt I changed his mind, but maybe I made him think a little, and I hope he finds it in him to attend his granddaughter's wedding. So we can start small with our next door neighbor. Be a prophet, a visionary, and a dreamer right here, right now, but also think big. Think big. Dream big. God's power through the Spirit is more powerful than any emperor's, more powerful than any gun. The church began, remember, as a tiny, persecuted sect, kicked out of the synagogues and hated by the empire. But the first Christians spoke the languages of the people, and those prophets, visionaries, and dreamers, those men and women, slave and free, young and old, became the very agents of God's work in history. Those first Christians did what we can do and continue. They took the name of the loving Christ and the living God through the fire of the Holy Spirit to all the world. There are now roughly 2.2 billion of us. And together, we bend the moral arc of the universe toward justice. May that be our prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us all. And all God's people say,
amen.
And now please pray with me as we offer back to God God's gifts to us. Good and gracious God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, for bringing us here, for everything you give to us, food, housing, clothing, and shelter. We now offer back to you what you gave to us first. Make us generous. Let us give with a willing and open heart. Make us your hands and feet in this world, prophets, visionaries, and dreamers, enacting your beloved community, your loving community, here and now in this place and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.